pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he? So good, man. So blessed to be with you and to celebrate him, to be able to worship with you, to get our eyes focused on him and what he's after from us today. I want you to know we had an amazing conference last Sunday. 2 o'clock in the afternoon last week, we had a conference meeting, which is a church annual, like, business type meeting. I don't call it a business meeting. I don't like that. We're doing God's business, but we call it a conference because we're coming together as the body of Christ. And it's the largest attended conference we've had since we've been here. And it was not just that the Holy Spirit was present with us. So anytime that you actually sense the presence of God in a business type meeting, that's an amazing thing. Should always be that way. And I'm so grateful that he was with us and he helped us through all the things that we were dealing with as a church and where he's trying to take us and where he wants to take us, I should say. Well, he is trying. We're letting him, hopefully. We are letting him, right? It's exceptionally foggy in here. I didn't know if we had a little humidity in the air. We're not used to that stuff. So I want to experience something from God today, you know, and I have. I want you to know I have. Today is not a normal Sunday. Is there ever a normal day? Well, you know, there's things that go similarly usually, but I don't have, like, every day is not a normal day, and it definitely doesn't go according to my plan. I had a plan today. I want you to know that every single Sunday I have a plan. My plan is to be in that vehicle at 6 a.m. driving to church. Like, I don't want to leave at 6:01. I don't want to leave. We need to be out the gate at 6 a.m. That's the plan. And something happened today that plan did not happen. And so at first I was very calm and excited about it and like, this is awesome, I'm committed to change, and so we're going to get to experience change today on what my plan is. No, it wasn't really the way I felt about it. The way I really felt about it was, this is unacceptable. This is not the way it's supposed to be, and we got stuff to do. And I mean that in a really good way, because you know, I've told you before how I have the perfect horse, I have the perfect dog, and then my wife has her animals. And I'm saying, like, it was her dog that was causing a disruption to my plan. But I want you to know my plan was God's plan, because God wants me to leave at 6 to show up. He does. I know he does. And so when that did not happen, and my first reaction was, like, to be uptight. And as I was walking around, I was like, okay, God, I don't know what's going on or why we're doing this, but I surrender. We'll go. We'll make it happen, whatever you want to have happen. It all ended well. Except for the time we left. Everything else went well. And so in that talk with God, and I was talking about, you know, what we needed today, and I mean, I was saying, like, what we needed today. And he had given me a message. And so I study a few days prior to Sunday, and the message today was, what are you expecting from God? And so I want you to know I have answered that in my own personal time with God. I did. I told him what I expected. And then some of my expectations didn't happen this morning, and I'm talking about because I didn't leave on time, because this isn't just an expectation. It's a plan. And it's supposed to happen. And when it didn't, it was like, okay, so you're up to something. I don't know what, but I trust you. That doesn't mean I felt good about it. But I did trust him and let go of it. And here we are. Guess what? We made it to church on time. Nothing didn't happen because I didn't get my normal routine in. Nothing didn't happen. I just want you to know that God has something for you right now, no matter what your routine or plan or idea was. And I do want you to know that you should have come expecting. And if you did not come expecting something from God, then your expectations have already been met. Right? If you didn't come expecting, then you got what you came for. So don't go home and say, that was a waste of time. No, you wasted your time. God didn't. God had an expectation of what he planned for today. and he knows what he's doing. And so in the moments where I have to like give up my plan or my ideas or my routines for him, he knows what he's doing. And one of the things that he wants to do is get me off my routine. It took a lifetime to get on one. Yes, trust me. It has taken a lifetime for me to have a routine. And so when I have a routine and I have to get off it, it's like, I don't understand this. I spent years building this. I know, surrendering to God to build it, by the way. But it took a long time. So I want you to know that today, I want to experience everything God has planned for me. Everything. I don't want to go home with anything missing from his agenda for Dave. I'm asking you to ask God for the same thing for you. Don't go home today from this service, or shut off your device if you're watching online. Don't shut it off. Ask God to do whatever he wants to do and bring about his to-do list in your life for you right now. Right now, church, I'm asking you to do that. Would you say yes to him on that account? All right. So let's move into this. I want a touch from God. I want to experience him. I want to know him. In Luke chapter 19, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief collector in the tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. So it's pretty incredible to me that tax people and politicians get rich. Isn't that crazy? There's something about that, you know? And this guy had the same experience. The chief tax collector, and somehow he got rich in the process of collecting your money to give to someone else. But he benefited. It's pretty crazy how that happens, isn't it? I want you to know those people are not unreachable for God. All right? Let's pray for them. So here we go. He had become very rich. He wasn't just rich, he was very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So, you know, everywhere Jesus went, there was people. And Zacchaeus, this day, like, I got to go see this guy. So he had a heart to have an encounter with Jesus. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. So here's the deal. Like, listen, church, here's this guy who is very rich, who is very short, and he's like, I don't care what's happening, I need to see Jesus. And so here's this dignified rich guy running ahead to climb a tree just to get a glimpse. I'm just asking you, like, what kind of an effort have you made just to have an encounter with Jesus, just to be with him, to get that moment? Just that moment where we can make eye contact, heart contact, to know him. Zacchaeus was like, I've got to see him. There was this drive in him that he didn't care about anything else. I need to see Jesus. And his life was forever changed. His life, church, was forever changed because he made an effort and he did not let the crowds hinder his desire. He did not let people or his own inabilities to stop him from having that moment with Jesus. And his life was forever changed. We look at the scriptures. This was that when Jesus came by, he looked up to Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Church, I want you to know that Jesus is looking in your tree. And he's calling you right now. And he's like, I want to go home with you. I don't want you to visit me today. I want to go home with you. I want to have an encounter with you. I want to have a life with you. And this moment of truth came because this individual made himself available and accessible. See, there's this free will we have. We can't live without a free will because we'd be robots. God gave us a free will because love is a choice. And it's that will that fights with us and fights with God. And that will has to be surrendered. It has to be let go of. It has to be like, I want your will, not mine. And here it is in this moment where Zacchaeus says, I'm coming. Jesus gives the invitation and he runs to be with him. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Isn't that awesome? It's like he was ecstatic that Jesus was actually coming to be in his house. All right. So there's always complaining, grumpy, griping people around, aren't they? Don't look at anybody around you. I'm just saying those people exist. All right. And they come to church. And this is what it says. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Well, I want you to know, people have labeled you. They have. Don't worry about their label. Just worry about that encounter with Jesus, taking him home, and having a relationship with him. People will have an opinion about you. All right. Don't worry about it. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Do you think he already knew he cheated them? All right. And he's throwing it out there like, I'm going to make things right. I'm all in. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. You matter to him. Doesn't matter what other people think of you. It doesn't matter. If you will make yourself available, he will meet you where you are. He will exceed your expectations. I want you to know that he will be there for you, and he will give you what you need. It may not be what you asked for. It will be what you need. Our God is faithful. The Lord knows who you are and what you are seeking from him this morning. Church, I don't mean this bad, but I'm just going to ask this question so that you stir yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to stir you. Have you made any effort besides showing up today to have an encounter with your God? Like, you know, like, I want you, Lord. I want, change me, meet me. You know, he's going to meet you just like he met Zacchaeus. You do have to make an effort, though. You can check out right now. There are a lot of people that show up at church that don't have a clue what happened there. I'm not referencing our conversation earlier. She said she didn't hear me say I fell in love with Arizona, so she asked me. I said that in the message. Were you listening? Anyway, I mean, I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just saying, like, we can be here. Doesn't mean we hear anything. You understand? Church, we can be in church and not even experience God. And God's here. Yes, he's inside of us if you have a relationship with him, but he is extra present when the assembly of God's people comes together. He is present in a more tangible and real way than any other place. God's word says that. Revelation 2 and 3, read it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 10. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. Everywhere Jesus went, there's always a crowd. Just like why Zacchaeus couldn't see him, here's another mass movement coming by. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me! All right, church, you hear the boldness? Didn't care. He did not care about the crowd. He did not care about what his position was. He wanted an encounter with Jesus. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. I love it. Doesn't matter what others think of you. Stop allowing people to affect your relationship with your God. Quit it. There will always be people's naysaying, telling us don't do that, don't act that way, don't be that way. You don't have to be like that. All kinds of garbage people will yak in your ears. Doesn't matter what other people say. If you're seeking Him, make it known that you are seeking Him. Let Him know that you're all there for Him. Let Him know you don't want to get passed by. Yes, there's a crowd of people around you. He knows you, and He wants to be with you. Don't let Him pass by this morning. See, the only thing that matters is that not only Jesus knows you, He knows your heart. And He's present and available for your heart and for your need. You do have to make yourself available to Him. Bartimaeus would not be quiet. Mark 10, keep reading. When Jesus heard him, he stopped. I love that. And he said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Isn't that crazy how easily manipulated people are? Shut up. Get excited. That was their response. Their response in their flesh was, shut up. Jesus says, come here. And they're like, woohoo! You have people like that in your life. Why are you letting them dictate anything to do with your walk with God? They're going to keep talking like that. They're going to be all over the place. So what? We have an audience with the Creator of the universe, and that is the only one that matters. What He says, what He asks, and what He does is all that matters in life. And we can't allow other people to mess us up. Cheer up, they said. Come on, He's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. So awesome. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. So church, when we look at this, this isn't about the healing, it's about the heart. This guy knew who Jesus was, he knew what Jesus could do, and he came to him for the touch. And Jesus said, it's going to be done for you just like what you're seeking for, right? Do you hear that? It's your faith. It's what you're looking for. I'm going to give back to you. And so that seeking of him, he honored. That's why I'm saying, like, I don't mean this bad, but a lot of Christians, it's hard for them to even show up at church, let alone run ahead and climb a tree, right? You know what I mean? Or shout out. I mean, I'm going to be humble and quiet over here. And, you know, I know, hopefully he knows I'm here. It's like, forget that, man. We're here to be with him. Let him know. I love the way you're worshiping the Lord in our worship services of songs. I do. I think it's fantastic. And both services just absolutely love that. That you're shouting out, that you're lifting your hands, that you're praising him. That's what it's all about. Now, let's do that from our heart. This openness, this, I want it. Give it to me. Do you want it? See, like, we do. Let's keep reading in the scriptures and find out what that means. So, as we look at this and we go where God's asking us, I do want you to know he knows your name. He knows what the crowds are muttering. None of that stuff stops our God. Just begin to seek the one that matters. Let's go to another account in the Bible, Luke chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. So the Lord's not saying like, hey, you guys don't have to work anymore, just spend all your time with him. That's not the point, not at all. Notice as we read this that we see that Martha was distracted, Mary was focused. Mary was focused on the one thing that mattered in her life, and that was Jesus. Martha was busy for Jesus, distracted with her own to-do list, and missed out on an opportunity that was available to her. She could have been sitting right next to Mary. Now, as we think about this, you see, what he's saying to Martha is, do I matter more than all of that that you have to get done? We all got agendas. We all have lists to do. We all have stuff that's calling to us constantly. Do we allow that to dictate our time with Jesus? Are we giving him our leftovers? Or are we making him our highest priority? God doesn't want your leftovers. He wants you. He wants you. And you've got to make yourself available to him. And if you make yourself available to him, he's there. Martha was in the house with Jesus and did not receive what she could have received because of her to-do list. Isn't that crazy? I've been there. I have. I've been there. Think about this, church. Martha knew Jesus, by the way. Martha knew Jesus. And she knew of his miracles. And he fed 5,000 people. Lisa read that a little earlier, talked about that scripture where he took one little boy's lunch bag and fed 5,000 people. Jesus could have taken care of the house. He could have. I don't know what he would have done. I don't. I know this, that when the disciples were fishing and Jesus showed up on the shore and he called out to them, when they came back to shore, he had breakfast ready for them. Right? He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. All right, but Martha thought she had to do it. Don't let yourself get caught up in your own stuff and miss out on an opportunity for Jesus to show up and do something only Jesus can do. Your agenda is not that important. Your to-do list needs to be surrendered so that God can be your to-do list. I'm not saying don't have one. You already heard me. I said I had to build my life to do this. I'm not a natural self-disciplined person. I had to discipline myself into being a self-disciplined person. That's not a fun road. I just want you to know. Please don't give him your leftovers. Let Jesus be the focus of your life and the purpose of what you're doing. Don't miss out on something he has for you because you're too busy. Here's another thought before we move on to the next story in the scriptures. If what you want from God is to complain about someone else, please don't. He's going to turn it back on you just like he did Martha. He's like, hey, don't you see the wrong happening here? You need to fix her. It's you that needs fixed. All right? So if you're here to complain about someone, shut up. You have no business complaining about someone. It's you. And God's bringing something out about you in this process. The question that I ask people, and I have to ask myself, what is Jesus teaching you in this moment? What is he teaching you? Because he's trying to teach you something. And if you think it's for someone else, you're wrong. He's so awesome, isn't he? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Mark 10, let's go. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him and knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This is a pretty awesome visual we have right here, right? I mean, this guy has all the appearance of I'm all in. I want everything you got for me. I mean, literally, he comes running up and kneels down before Jesus. And he's like, tell me. Okay. So Jesus responds, why do you call me good? Jesus asks, only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. All right, self-proclamation of I'm all in. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. I just want you to know, Jesus knows our heart. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. He could not do the one thing God asked him for, because he was not willing to do the one thing God asked him for. I want you to know, God knows your heart. He's going to ask you about that one thing. Whatever it is for you, that's what he's talking to you about. That's God. He wants our heart. He's like, I see all this other stuff. What about this? Right? That's what he did. So we see this rich guy genuinely seeking peace for his soul. He was. He's like, I got to do it. Whatever. Tell me what I need. Something's not right. I'm following the law. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I need something. And Jesus is like, you do. There's this something inside of you that needs to be surrendered. Here it is. Whoa, didn't know you were going there. Right? I mean, come on, that's his response. He was like, wah. Well, so here's the deal. He wanted it, but he wanted it his way. That's what he did. See, he wanted eternal life, but he wanted his own life. He wanted to live his way, but he wanted God's reward. Doesn't go. Church, I want you to know it doesn't go. Jesus didn't say, go and sell everything you have and bring me your money, like some false teachers do. No, church, listen. Jesus was not about his money. He was always about the heart. He's always about the heart. And what he asked him was, you've got something inside of you that needs to be surrendered. You like your rich life way too much. I need to let go of it. Yeah, Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the point that he needs to drive home. He knows what he needs to bring to the surface for us. And I want you to know, God knows you. Your religious behavior, your surrender to a point, none of that matters. Your heart matters. And if you're seeking him, he's going to reveal your heart to you. That's our God. And that's a good thing. You don't have to be afraid. Church, you see, a lot of people say this the very same thing. A lot of people do. Like, oh, I don't go to church. The church, all they want is your money. I want you to know, we don't want your money. I don't even know what you give. I don't know what any one of you give in this church. I know what my wife and I give. That's it. And I intentionally have it set up that way. That's between you and God. But it is between you and God, and don't forget that. And that's why we say, are you giving to God in the accountability questions your time and talents and resources as he's asked you to give? It's a pretty simple question. Are you doing what God says? Or are you giving him your leftovers in all those areas and everywhere else in your life? You can't live in both places. You can't. You can't live for God and for self at the same time. Self is the enemy of God. It's me. It's my will. It's got to be God's way, not mine, not yours, not ours. It's not a consensus vote. God, we decided this is the way it's going to be. It's like, nah, it's his way. Okay? So what we see here in this rich guy, and the contrast between Zacchaeus, another rich guy, is this. Zacchaeus was willing to do whatever it took, and he came with that attitude. Right? He's the one that came to Jesus and said, look, here I am. I will do this. Here it is. I'm going to give it away. I'll pay them back. I'm going to do everything that's right. I'm all in. That's awesome. This other guy was like, I want to be all in. He's like, okay, do this. He's like, I don't want to be all in. You have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. I can be all in or I can be half in. If I'm half in, I'm not in. So again, what we learn from Scripture is Jesus is after the heart. So this guy wasn't willing to surrender his heart. Martha wasn't willing to surrender her agenda. Zacchaeus was willing to do whatever it took. And blind Bartimaeus was like, I don't care what anybody says. I want Jesus. We look at all these contrasts in the Scriptures, and the opening question I ask you is, what have you come expecting from God? What are you asking Him? What are you seeking from God today? What is it you're looking for? He's calling to us. So, I referenced this earlier about my undisciplined life. I can roll with anything. Seriously, I can. I've been that way all my life, where it's just like, okay, let's figure it out. Whatever's going on, it could just disrupt. If the sound system's down in church, I'm like, okay, we're gonna do acoustic, whatever it takes. I don't care. It doesn't faze me. And that's good, but if you live your life that way, it can be bad, where it's like, eh, whatever. You know, so my whatever living also costs me a little bit, because I'm like, oh yeah, we'll get to that, we'll do that, and I didn't, right? So I'm pastoring the church in Michigan, and one of the members there, Roy Foster, he's with Jesus now, he signed me up for a Franklin Covey class. And if you don't know who Franklin Covey class or Franklin Covey is, it's okay. He used to be, I mean, they used to do these seminars, and you got a book, and it was a day planner kind of thing, and I went to a two-day class. He was blessing me because I know I frustrated him because I just rolled with whatever. Okay, so why am I telling you that? Okay, I'll tell you why, because you see, I was like, I want to be the best I can be, Lord, and so I went with diligence to learn this, and they had like lists to do, color code them according to priority, slide them over into this group when you do it. I remember a lot of that stuff, and so I hope you caught that. I remember a lot of that stuff, all right? So then I was like diligent. I carried that little book. It was actually a pretty big book, leather bound. Like, you got that out of the whatever price you paid. And I used to carry that thing around. I'm like, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And I became a slave to my agenda. And what happened was, I didn't want to let go of my stuff to do, and I was not okay if things weren't getting done. It bugged me if I had stuff at the page that didn't happen today when it was supposed to be done today. You know what I mean? So I became a slave to that book. And what happened was, I began to be more intentional about my time with my book than my time with God. I didn't plan it that way. Ironic. I didn't, you know, that wasn't the agenda. The agenda was, I want to be better for God, therefore I will commit myself completely to doing this. And then this became a problem in my relationship with God. Is that crazy? We can do some stupid stuff, right? And I'm just confessing to you, I do it regularly, and God has to slap me around, wake me up, like, come on, dummy, get back over here, this is where we belong, right? I'm good with it. I know he laughs at me, I laugh at me with him. And I got to do this, man. Yep, sorry, did it again. I apologize. Let's go. All right, so what's the point? I had to let that book go, which, it's the stupidest thing is how undisciplined I was to how disciplined I became. Then I had to hard time surrendering the discipline. What a messed up people we are, right? That's why it's like, don't listen to people. They're crazy. All right, so then I'm walking with God, and I begin to instill like spiritual disciplines in my life, and I've talked about this before, and I'm telling you, I believe the number on my phone is 34 daily reminders that go off in my phone every single day. My spiritual disciplines individually are on my phone, and they are to be done early in the morning. So the first agendas of my day are all God. Not that the rest of it isn't, but I'm saying it is intentionally designed for me to be with God because my wife wants me to be with God. She does. Because she knows that if Dave's not with God, Dave's going to be there, and she doesn't want to spend her time with Dave. Right? All right, I'm just being honest. That's the way it is, right? Okay, so what am I saying? Here we go. So we're doing this thing. And so I love to get up early in the morning, and I do. And I like to get up before Kim intentionally. I want time with God so that I can have my time with God and then my time with Kim. Kim wants Dave to have her time with God before she spends time with Dave, right? So it's an agreement. If something messes that up, I'm messed up. I'm confessing that to you right now because you see, what matters is that Dave is with God so that God can speak into Dave and change Dave's ideas and make them God's ideas. And if I don't make that time to be with him, Dave gets all over in the way and he'll mess everything up. So this very morning, when we're getting ready to leave at 6 a.m., it's 8 minutes before we leave, and I remind my wife that it's 8 minutes before we leave because she loves for me to do that, and I want to be a blessing in her life. So I'm like, it is 8 minutes before we leave. So I'm kind of like, move. All right. I mean, it's true. So she's like, where's Concho? That's her Australian Shepherd. I'm like, I don't know, he was out here a while ago. Can't find Concho. Like, that's totally crazy. This dog's 9 years old, he's never left our house. We have a sizable property, and he rarely walks past 100 feet from the house. Like, literally, he doesn't want to go anywhere. It just wants to be with us and stuff, right? Well, he's nowhere to be found. Like, that doesn't make any sense. He was just laying in the dirt with me when I was spending my time with God. He was right there, I saw him. He's here. Don't worry about it. Get in the truck. We're going to leave. It's 3 minutes to six now. He'll be fine. And so she lovingly reminded me that, hey, if it was Cinch, would you leave? Cinch is my dog. He's the perfect dog, by the way, in case you didn't know that. He was there where he belonged. But anyway, she said, would you leave if it was him? I said, absolutely, I would. I would leave because this is my agenda and I have time. Okay? So then as I walked around, I'm like, all right, well, I got to do this for her. I mean, that's exactly the way I felt about it. I got to do this for her. I'm going to go walk the property to find that dumb dog. Right? I didn't say that out loud. I'm just telling you what was happening inside of me. I do the loop in the property. I text Eric and Ashley. Concho's not here. See him? Went over, looked in the tracks, no tracks in the dirt. Walk out, go by the road. The dog doesn't go anywhere. I'm like, okay, now, if I find him dead because he was bit by a snake, that's going to be horrible, Lord. I don't want to find him. I'm looking in all the bushes thinking that must have happened to him because, I mean, you know, there's no reason for him not to be there. None. He's a homebody. And so our time just keeps going and going and going. And I'm like, as God was talking to me out there, as he always does, right? He's like, you know, you need to chill out a little bit. I mean, nothing's going to fall apart because you're not there at, you know, 7 o'clock when you want to be there. Everybody knows what they need to do. Everything's going to be fine. They don't need you. Yes, Lord, I know they don't, but, you know, I need to be there. This is my space. It's my place. It's my time. It's what I got to do. And I understand. So, okay. So, 3 loops around the property, which is like, all right, if the dog was dead, I'd have found him. And I don't mean that bad. I'm like, I didn't want to find him dead. But I wanted to find him. I went through the house, the barn, I went through everything. I'm like, that dumb dog. So as much as he gets on my nerves, I love him. You know what I mean? I do. I love the dog. But he gets on my nerves. Certain things he does. He's amazing. He's an Australian Shepherd. They're amazing dogs. They're hairy, though. Don't get one if you don't like hair. All right, so anyway, I'm going along here. You know, we meet each other in the yard. Sorry about that. I apologize to her. And she apologized to me. I'm not bringing up her issues. I'm just talking about me right now. Is she in here? Next week, I'll tell you about her issues. But anyway, so anyway, you know, we're looking around there, and all right, like, I'm at the point now, it's like, do or die here. I mean, literally, and we got to go, man. And I go out to look in the barn again. I'm like, I already know he's not here. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm opening the door. Nope, no dog. I knew that. And all of a sudden, she yells out to me, he's right here. Turn around, and I see the dog coming out of the house, and I'm like, what? I love you, and I'm happy you're alive, but I would like to. Not seriously, but you know what I mean. I'm like, what in the world, man? Are you kidding me? Where was he? Oh, he was in the bedroom. I'm like, I went through the house. How is he in the bedroom? I literally went in the back last evening before we go to bed. I shut the bathroom door because for some dumb reason, he wants to go lay in the shower. I didn't let him in there. I closed all three bedroom doors and went out. Like, I know he's not there, so I didn't even look. I even went into the bathroom and looked in there just in case, even though I knew the door was closed. I figured she must have left it open. You know, I mean, you know what I mean. It had to be her. But anyway, I didn't even look in that room because I latched the door. And so she says, well, that door sometimes just swings open if you don't latch it good. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Somebody should fix that. It's probably on a to-do list somewhere, but I spent time with Jesus just to justify with you. All right. So here's the happy ending. It's like, there's the dog. Let's go. Let's get in the truck and get out of here. It was a little silent for a while. Not in a bad way. It was just like processing things. Okay, God, here I am. What are you doing? I can tell you exactly what God wants from us and what he wanted from me. What he's saying is, Dave, your agenda is not all that important. Actually, you're not all that important. What matters is him. And I'm like, I know all that. But that's a dumb dog. He's like, yep. And you are learning a lesson. So, you know, it comes back to that whole self thing. Like Martha and Mary. Like, okay, is this about Kim? Is this about Concho? Or is this another thing about Dave? My goodness, when am I going to not be about me? When is it not going to be about me? Learning a lesson and saying, I surrender. Right? When is that not? It's always going to be that way. I want you to know that, church. Today, God's saying to you, it's about you. It's about you. And he's calling us to this moment. And so as we end the service, and I'm asking you to stand, I'm saying, are you willing to surrender to what Jesus is asking you for? To truly receive the longing of your heart? And that is him. Church, we are seeking him even when we don't even realize it. And he's here. And he's inviting you to come to him right now. The altar's open. I always let you know this. The front of the church, we call the altar. What that means is you can come and present yourself before God. Lay out your stuff. Surrender your agenda. Whatever it is that God's asking you for, this altar's open for you to come personally to your God. This is the moment where Bartimaeus was saying, Jesus! This is your moment. You can come and call out to him, and you need to. This is about your relationship with him and you surrendering what needs to be surrendered to what he's asking you about. What did you come looking for today? What is it? Please don't leave the same way you came. Jesus is here. Call out while he is near. Church, please. I am not telling you that are standing back here still that you're not right, not at all. And I'm not saying everybody needs to come to this altar. I'm saying if God is speaking, run to the altar. Do not let people hinder you. Don't let their thoughts hinder you. Don't let anything stop you from coming to be with him. He is all that matters. He is. Father, here we are before you right now. You know our hearts. We are transparent before you. And that's why you're singling out those things that are there. And I thank you for every person that is listening and hearing from you about that thing. And Lord, we are here to say we're all in. Whatever you want from us, God, we're all in. Whatever you want from me, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord. Church, in agreement with, would you, like, I don't want you to say words, you know, just to say words, but I'm asking you today, God's inviting us. I'm saying, are you all in? Are you all in? Like, all in. Is there anything you're holding back on? If there's not, man, celebrate that. There's nothing like having your heart right with God and having that peace inside of you. You can have a Zacchaeus experience, you can have a Martha experience, or you can have the rich man experience. It's up to you. You can leave sad, or you can leave rejoicing with Jesus going back to your house with you. You ready to do that? I'm glad the five of you are. How about the rest of y'all? You want Jesus to go home with you today? He wants to go home with you. He wants you to have a celebration. Lord, thank you. You're so good. God bless you, church. Let's be faithful, obedient, and surrendered.